Good morning. A hearty welcome to all and those who are online as well. Before we open up in Mark 15, we'll go to Luke chapter 12. See, the four Gospels are four parts of a big puzzle. And if you want to see the full picture, you need the four Gospels put together that gives you the full picture of exactly what happened. We can't go through it all, for sure, but there's just a few parts of things that are mentioned in Luke that I would like to look at first. Luke chapter 12. And verse 50. The Lord Jesus speaking. So the Lord Jesus is going to tell us a little bit of what was coming in the passage that we're going to look at together. He says, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with." And he's not talking about the water baptism that happened earlier in the gospel. One of the first things that happened. So he's talking about another baptism. And how am I constrained till it be accomplished? So he's speaking of a baptism of fire. Baptism when he's going to go into the wrath of God for you and I. Now in chapter 22, Verse 52, "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders who were come with him, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and clubs? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour. This is your hour and the power of darkness." Chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus has just been crucified in verse 33. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now in Mark chapter 15. Starting our reading at verse 16. I feel like I'm treading on holy ground. This passage is actually the climax of eternity. It's the very pivot of eternity. Eternity depends on what happens in the next few lines that we're going to read together. There's nothing before and there's nothing after that is more important than what happens in this passage. They're actually going to beat, mock, nail the Lord Jesus to a cross. The one who was sinless, the one who everyone around him could not point a finger at a single sin. He could say, "Who of you can convict me of sin?" The very guards of the priests came back with their hands empty-handed, when they sent them to take him, and they just had to say, "No man spake like this man." Pilate, three times over, the judge says, three times over, "I find no fault in this man." You say, well, if the judge says that, he's going to be released. No. The judge says this man is innocent. And he actually washed his hand in a basin and told the people, "I want nothing to do with the blood of this man." The Lord Jesus was perfect. He had done nothing but good. There's never a sinner that came to him with a need that wasn't filled. There was not a sick person that came to him and went back without being healed. The Lord Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. And now, man is putting up their fist against God, and they're going to crucify the Son of God. Does that make sense? Makes no sense. That's why the Lord said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." The devil has been waiting for this. And the devil thinks right now, or at that point, that he's got the upper hand and he's finally going to get rid of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord Jesus is a baptism whereby I must be baptized, and how I can't wait for it to happen. That's kind of a paraphrase. The Lord Jesus wanted to give his life. We could have read in John chapter 10 where it says that no man takes my life from me. I have power to take it, I have power to give it, and I have power to take it again. So the Lord Jesus, even though things look absolutely dim, things look absolutely dark, the Lord Jesus is in control of the whole situation. And the scholars say that from the time of his betrayal to the time of his resurrection, there's actually 33 prophecies that were accomplished. Not just a couple, 33. So the probability of that happening is like one over thousands of numbers. It's impossible. God is behind it. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control of what's going on. Even though the devil thinks he's in control right now. So let us read verse 16. "And the soldiers led him away in the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head, and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him upon the head with the reed." And that reed, if you look in the other gospel, was given to him as a scepter in mockery. "And did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, They took off the purple robe, the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place, Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots for them, that every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." That was supposedly his guilt, that he was the King of the Jews. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed at him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroys the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we realize that we are stepping on holy ground. And Lord, it is hard to read these passages untouched, even though we've done it many times in the past. So this morning we pray that you would change our hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh, that we might be able to feel a little bit of what the Lord Jesus felt that day while they hung our Lord to the tree. We pray that anyone here not saved this morning would realize that the Lord Jesus died for them. He was crucified for them. He paid the price for their sin, and that they might just trust in him with maybe a feeble faith. But Lord, we know that a feeble faith in a strong Savior is all we need. It's not the faith that saves, it's the person in whom we put our faith. So we pray that you would help us this morning to speak well of the Lord Jesus, we ask in his name. Amen. So this is the hour of darkness, the power of darkness, the hour that the devil seems to have the upper hand. We already read in Luke how the Lord Jesus, he practiced what he preached on the Mount of Olives. During those days that he preached to love your enemies and to do well, to do good to those who persecute you. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus is doing here. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Lord Jesus, in spite of these people hating him and wanting him dead, he loves them. He loves them. And this morning I can tell you with the authority of Scripture, the Lord Jesus loves you. Because the Lord Jesus loved humanity, loved you and I, to the point of being willing to being offered a sacrifice for sin. So here they're going to mock him. Pilate, to appease his conscience, decided that this man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is guilty because he said, "I am the King of the Jews." Being the King of the Jews, he was lifting up himself against Caesar. So here, they're going to mock him. They took a purple robe. They gave him a reed for a scepter. They put a crown of thorns together. And they put the crown of thorns on his head. And it says that they actually smote his head with the reed. The pain must have been horrendous. And again, I don't know how we can read that without having our hearts touched. Without being moved a little bit after the Lord Jesus was treated so unfairly, so terribly. So they bowed the knee and they worship him, they say, it says. "Hail, King of the Jews." See, they were contrasting him with Caesar, with his purple robe and with his crown of laurels and with his scepter. And when the people would see Caesar, they would say, "Ave Caesar." They're mocking the Lord Jesus as a defeated king. A king that had no power, that had no army. A king that was left alone. We know that his disciples, you read the beginning of the Gospels, it says that they left everything and followed him. At the end of the Gospel, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says all forsook him and fled. The Lord Jesus was left alone. Makes me think of Psalm 69. "Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, and I found none. For comforters, and there was none. They gave me gall for my meat, and they gave me vinegar in my thirst." The Lord Jesus, can we feel it a little bit? The Lord Jesus, he didn't die of a broken heart, but he died with a broken heart. "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness." He looked for some to take pity, and there was none. For comforters, and he found none. The Lord Jesus was left alone. So the soldiers, we know that you're not talking about a dozen soldiers here. You're talking about the cohort. They took him into the court of the praetorium. And the cohort was a tenth part of a legion, a Roman legion. And the Roman legion was 6,000 men. So our cohort was 600 men. 600 men around the Lord Jesus, beating him, spitting on him, mocking him. And the verb of the tense of the verb, where it says that they were smiting him on the head. The tense of the verb is continuous. The continuous tense. So they were all taking turns to beat the Lord Jesus and to mock him and to spit on him. And according to Isaiah 50, the Lord Jesus says in Isaiah 50, a prophecy about him, it says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. They were plucking the very hair from his beard. That's what they did to the Lord Jesus. The good, lowly, humble Lord Jesus. So after they're done doing that, and by the way, the soldiers mocked him and looked at him as a mock king, a mocked king. And they bowed the knee before him and worshipped him in mockery. I can think of another day. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus, and about the fact that he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that because of that, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So those soldiers, all of them, the day is coming where they will have to bend the knee again before the Lord Jesus. But that day they're not going to say, Hail, King of the Jews. They're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I thank God that I bend the knee already. Is anybody here this morning that never bent the knee to the Lord Jesus? You never trusted Christ as your Savior? Now is the time. Now is the time to do it. It's Him, the Savior. It's Him, it's His precious blood that can save you, that can wash you from your sin. And if you bend the knee now to the Lord Jesus and accept Him and embrace Him as your personal Savior, you will not have to do it as a judgment in Philippians chapter, like we see in Philippians chapter 2. That is going to be the last day at the great white throne of judgment. Every saved person, every believer, every person that is born again of God will not have to stand before the throne, before the great white throne, because they already bend the knee to the Lord Jesus in this life. So do it today. So now they come to the point that they're going to take him to the cross. They took the robe off and they put on his clothes. And then it says that they compelled one Simon of Cyrene who passed by, verse 21, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. An African man from Cyrene. That's a town in Libya. And was he a proselyte? We don't know. Was he, did he had the, what do you call that, become a Jew, converted to Judaism, we don't know. But we know that his son Alexander and his son Rufus is mentioned, and they are mentioned in the scriptures. Rufus is mentioned in Romans chapter 16. Alexander is mentioned a few times, but finally he didn't finish very good. We're not going to talk about Alexander. But Simon of Cyrene is going to bear, some say, the crossbar of the cross. Some say it was the whole cross. Whether it's the crossbar or whether it's the whole cross, he's bearing the cross for the Lord Jesus. I want to make very plain this morning, there's false teaching that are not found in the scriptures. You can't add to scripture. You might be able to imagine something that happened a certain way. The scriptures doesn't tell us all the details, so you kind of try to fill the details. But here you're talking about adding details that are not there. I used to be in a church that there was what you call the road of the cross. And in the road of the cross, the Lord Jesus stumbled 3 times under the weight of the cross. He stumbled once, and then he stumbled the second time, and then he stumbled a third time. In every station, yet to pray. Well, that's not in the scriptures. We don't see that the Lord stumbled at any time. The men, the soldiers, saw a man that was beaten, that was bleeding, because before what we've read here, he was scourged just before. So the Lord Jesus has been beaten viciously, he's bleeding over, he's disfigured, he looks very weak by the look of him. So the soldiers decide, we must get somebody to carry his cross because he's not going to make it to Golgotha. That's the only thing I can figure that happened there. Because it doesn't say that he stumbled. But he was viciously beaten. And he looked like somebody that was viciously beaten. Actually, Isaiah chapter 52, the second last verse of the chapter says that he was beaten so much that he was not recognizable as a man. His face was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So the Lord Jesus didn't look good. He looked like a guy that was very close to death. Bleeding from his back, from his head, from his side, from his whole body has been ripped open. It says that the plowers have made their furrows long upon his back. So his back was lacerated in many places from being flogged. So Simon is carrying his cross. And they come. Actually, this is where they're going to give him wine mingled with myrrh. 3 times they give him something to drink. We see that in Luke. We see that in Mark. That they gave him wine mingled with myrrh, which was something to kill the pain. And the Lord, when he tasted it, he refused to take it. He just tasted it and refused it. But the last thing that they gave him to drink was when he was on the cross, and that was in John chapter 18. They gave him, or chapter 19, they gave him vinegar to drink. That was to make the pain worse. In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. That he took, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. By the way, just in the few verses that we're looking together here, there's six or seven things that happen that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So, verse 24, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots for them what every man should take. And we know that that's an accomplishment of Psalm 22. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. So the Lord Jesus is crucified in between, in the midst of two other guys that are thieves. So what do? You put him in the middle as if he's the worst of the three. That's what they think of him. That's what they thought of him. And then the mocking is still going on. And the scriptures were fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. That's another fulfilled scripture, Isaiah chapter 53. And they that passed by railed him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroys the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. The Lord Jesus had said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. He was talking about the temple of his body. He was talking about being resurrected from the dead 3 days after that he would die. By the way, the Lord Jesus foretold this happening at least three times, to his disciples. That he must go to Jerusalem and be rejected by the high priest and scribes and put to death, crucified, and then 3 days later he would raise from the dead. Three times over, he said that. And that's exactly what happened. So they're mocking him. The crowd is mocking him. The soldier mocked him. Soldiers mocked him. The crowd is mocking him. And now the priest and the scribes are mocking him. We see that in verse 31. So also the chief priests mocking and said to themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. He did better than that. He did much better than that. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he would have saved himself, there would have been no salvation for any of us. So the Lord Jesus did better than that. He went to the cross. He died. He bore the wrath of God against sin. He rose again the third day. And by doing that, he didn't only save others in that day, the others that those people are talking about. He made salvation available to all of humanity without exception. So he did much better than saving himself or saving others and not saving himself. He did much better than that. So he says, verse 32, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe, and that they that were crucified with him reviled him. So according to Mark, the two thieves also are mocking the Lord Jesus. So the cohort, the soldiers, the crowd, the Pharisees and the scribes, the chief priests, and now even the thieves on the cross. But I believe that the thieves on the cross that were mocking the Lord Jesus heard the Lord Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And one of the thieves was touched. One of the thieves realized this man is different. This man is not normal. It's not normal that you're praying when you're crucified on a cross and you're praying for the assaulter. You're praying against, normally you would be swearing and cursing against everybody. Here you're praying for them. Praying for them to be forgiven. And if you look in Luke, because really this is such a beautiful picture. Luke 23. Luke 23 and verse 39. That is a beautiful picture of humanity today. And one, verse 39, and one of the malefactors who were hanged railed at him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, started by railing and mocking the Lord Jesus as well. But he had a change of heart. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? As we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, or unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Humanity is divided in two groups. One side is like the one thief that was without repentance and rejected Christ. I hope you're not in that group today. The other side is the other thief that was also deserving the cross, deserving to die because of his crimes. But he repented and he put his trust in the Lord Jesus to be saved. And the Lord Jesus, who promised to all men, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The jailer or the thief, the robber, he goes and asks the Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus answered, today, not tomorrow, today, you shall be with me in paradise. So there's one side that rejects the Lord Jesus, that are unrepenting and will die in their sins. And the Lord Jesus says about that, if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come. And there's the other side that repented and trusted Christ as their Savior, and he is today, as we speak, he's in paradise. He's in heaven with the Lord Jesus. So on which side are you today? Let's say that this is their unrepenting side, and this side is the repenting side. The bad thief, robber, that ended up in hell. Or the thief that changed his mind. Are you going to change your mind today about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the only thing that matters. There's nothing else that matters. Is what you do with Christ will matter for eternity. Either you bend the knee today, or you will bend the knee someday against your will. So the Lord Jesus died. He was crucified, he died, but he rose again the third day. And that is the victory over sin, death, and hell. The devil is defeated. The Lord Jesus is the victor. Please turn to him today. Trust in him today. You don't need a religion. Nobody needs religion. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you tell me you're saved today, and I ask you to tell me your story, and the Lord Jesus is not even mentioned in the story, I think you've got the wrong story. If I ask you, are you saved today? And you tell me, yes, I am. Why are you saved? Because I trusted Christ as my Savior at such and such a time. I'll tell you, that's all you need. That's all you need. You need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, come to him today. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus that was willing to do all that, to go through all that, to be hated, to be reviled, to be beaten, to be nailed to a cross, and there he gave his life so that we might have life. He gave his life so that we might be forgiven. Lord, what a Savior. We thank you for ever giving him to be the Savior of the world, to be the sacrifice for sin. And the Bible says that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, let a sinner turn to him today. We know that hell is not filled with sinners that Christ rejected. Hell is filled with sinners who rejected Christ. So, Lord, we pray that none of the people that are here today and our friends, our family, none of these people will be Christ rejectors, but that they would embrace him as their Savior. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.